Welcome back. This is Robert Fleming, one of the partners in the Tucson, Arizona elder law firm of Fleming & Curdy PLC, and Elizabeth Noble Rawlings Freeman, the other partner, is sitting across from me. You're listening to Elder Law Issues, our weekly podcast on, well, elder law issues. I thought we were very clever when we named this podcast, Elizabeth.
Well, Robert, I think a lot of the issues that we talk about are not only issues that pertain to people who are elderly, but actually pertain to families of all ages.
That's true. And an awful lot of what we talk about deals specifically addresses family members where there is a person with a disability or some other condition that is not aging by itself. In fact, today, since we're getting very close to tax time, I thought we'd talk about something that is important, not just for seniors, not just for people with disabilities, but for pretty much everybody who signs tax returns, which that would basically be everybody, at least over a certain age, I guess. And particularly, Elizabeth, we talk a lot about powers of attorney and the importance of having signed a power of attorney and how you use a power of attorney. And we've done various conversations about the subject, but we've never specifically talked about powers of attorney in the tax context. Can we do that for a little bit today?
Sure, Robert. Let's have a conversation.
So one of the issues is if you are unable to sign your tax return, and let's guess for the moment that it's because you're incapacitated or you have some disability that makes it impossible for you to sign. How can somebody else sign the tax return for you? This could also happen if you were traveling during the relevant time, or if you just wanted to turn over the management of your affairs to somebody else. Can you sign a power of attorney that gives somebody else the power to sign documents for you?
Well, absolutely, Robert. And when we're talking about tax returns specifically, I think it's important to note two different things. One is the standard IRS form 2848, that is the power of attorney that the IRS actually has online. It's a form that some people may have seen, others might not have. So there's an IRS form power of attorney, but for many of us, we actually have a specific provision in our financial powers of attorney that allow an agent to file a tax return on behalf of the principal. So when we talk about powers of attorney and tax returns, we might be talking about either one of these documents.
Absolutely correct. And here's kind of the problem and the way people get confused by this. When the IRS designed their form 2848, the power of attorney form that you mentioned, they had in mind the case where you want to give your CPA, perhaps, the power to deal with the IRS on your behalf. Not necessarily to sign the form, but maybe to call and ask them questions. And so, being the IRS, they write the rules to say, you can only do this with our form. And our form requires it to specifically name the person and the tax form that they can talk about and the year of the tax return that they can talk about. And that's not very helpful to plan for the possibility that you might become incapacitated, because you don't know what forms you're going to have to file and in what years you might be incapacitated in order to sign them yourself. So the 2848 is just not very helpful.
It's a pretty limited form.
And the rule does say that you have to use the form 2848. And so that sounds like those powers of attorney that we do, they're probably not going to work, right?
No, Robert. In fact, we've really studied the rule, and the provisions in our financial power of attorney actually directly address the IRS rules, including the specific years that an agent might file on behalf of the principal.
So what we have done in our powers of attorney is to say in the year in which we create a power of attorney, we say the last 7 years and the next 25 years, somebody has the power to deal with tax forms. And that's the idea there, is that we've given the IRS specific tax years. It's sort of a nonsense specific tax years, but that's what they need.
Right, Robert. And so it's important to make sure that if you are an agent and you are going to sign somebody else's return, in this case, the principal's tax return, if you're using the authority under a financial power of attorney to do that, it's important to get advice about the financial power of attorney and make sure that it actually provides the proper depth and scope for you to take the action.
And then the instructions for the form 2848 say, well, if you're outside power of attorney, doesn't include the things that we require on the 2848, we'll let the agent on the power of attorney provide those things on the form. So what happens is your agent on your power of attorney is signing as if they were you, giving themselves the power to deal with the tax returns. It's a little bit of a circular nonsense, but that's sometimes the way the IRS rules work in order to have the right form. So we do get clients calling up and saying, or not clients, but the children of clients calling up and saying, I tried to sign mom's tax return and they said they wouldn't accept your power of attorney. And then they made me fill out the 2848 saying I had a power of attorney and attach mom's power of attorney. Is that what I was supposed to do? And the short answer is, yep, that's what you were supposed to do. It seems silly, but that's how it works.
So I think the takeaway, everybody who's listening today, is twofold. One, if you don't have a financial power of attorney that specifically addresses and satisfies the IRS's requirements as it relates to a provision and discretion for your agent to sign a tax return on your behalf, it's a good idea to think about whether or not you need more explicit language in the document before you exercise the authority. I think the other point is 2848 is a financial power of attorney that is really IRS specific. And so I have had people say, well, I completed a 2848 and my CPA was the person who I put on that form. Does that mean that I need to update my financial power of attorney? And I usually look at the person, and depending on the facts and circumstances, the answer is no, not necessarily. But it is important to make sure that you know exactly what you're signing and that when it comes to tax returns, your CPA also has good insight into who else might sign on your behalf. The CPA, any good CPA or tax preparer, will be very comfortable reviewing a financial power of attorney for specific provisions around the kinds of requirements that the IRS has.
We need to be very clear, by the way, that we are talking about powers of attorney. Those are not the only way that you can give or that someone else can get the authority to sign tax documents or to deal with the IRS for you. On your death, then your personal representative has that power. Or if there is no probate, maybe even your trustee or a family member. If you become incapacitated and a guardianship or conservatorship is initiated, then the guardian or conservator may have the power. They use a different form from the 2848 to demonstrate their authority, usually the form 56 if you're into form numbers at the IRS. I just recently learned, Elizabeth, how all these form numbers got their numbers, and I've always believed that there was some higher logic to it, and no, it was the sequence in which the forms were created. So much for a higher logic in the IRS form world.
Well, I think, Robert, as long as people are listening today and you keep in mind you might not be incapacitated today or you might not be helping somebody who is incapacitated today, but tax returns are one of those things that annually all of us need to give some thought to, and it's important to think ahead on it.
That's all we're going to talk about powers of attorney. We were really just going to deal with the IRS because of the season. So, hey, everybody, happy tax season from Fleming & Curdy, PLC, a Tucson, Arizona elder law firm, where the partners are myself, Robert Fleming, and Elizabeth Noble Rawlings Freeman. Join us again next week for Elder Law Issues. We'll talk at you then.